Welcome to the Triple Helix Podcast.
On this episode of the Triple Helix Podcast, I'm really pleased to have wound specialist Heather Flexer back with us. Hey, Heather.
Hey, how you doing, Dan?
I'm doing all right. I feel good. I have a couple of sore muscles, but I earned those. So it's way better than, you know, what could be happening, say, in the topic that we chose for today, which is lower extremity ulcers. Because learning from your writings and looking at a few things about it, lower extremity ulcers are more commonplace than most of us realize. And they sound like really miserable to live with. So why don't you share with us a little bit for those of us who maybe only know a little, basically what is a lower extremity ulcer and how do people get them?
Well, we're basically talking about anything on the lower legs. Usually ulcers are going to happen from the knee down and can be related to all sorts of things. So September is Vascular Disease Awareness Month, so that's kind of why we're talking about it, but it could be related to arterial disease or venous disease and throw in some issues with the lymphatic system, which can complicate everything. And many people are diabetic as well, so that can add complications. But you could have people with lower extremity ulcers could have one of those factors or several of those factors. And of course, the more factors you have, the more complicated it gets.
Sure, that makes sense. Just to break it down a little more, when you say ulcer, a lot of people have generally heard of a stomach ulcer or maybe a skin ulcer, but this has a really specific meaning medically, right?
It's basically a break in the skin, a hole in the skin. With arterial disease, it's going to be usually towards more of the feet. It's going to be a lack of blood flow. So there's not enough nutrients like getting to the skin. And eventually there might be some breakdown, which may be related to pressure or whatever, but there isn't enough blood flow to heal the area.
Right. And it was interesting in your writing. I knew about diabetic ulcers from a family member who suffered from those. And I know they can be extremely serious, even life-threatening, right?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
But you mentioned even women who've had multiple pregnancies can suffer from some of these things.
Yeah, pregnancy puts a lot of stress on the body. Venous insufficiency is kind of the opposite problem as arterial insufficiency, but that's the return of fluids back up to the heart. And a lot of times women who are pregnant so pregnant women can definitely have issues with venous return. They can get the varicose veins, the bulging veins in their legs just from all the pressure of carrying a baby and all the stress that puts on their venous system and also the lymphatic system. So yeah, it can absolutely cause some breakdown in the skin as well.
So for the everyday person, my mind goes to the sedentary life a lot of people lead because, you know, sitting in an office or sitting at home in front of a computer or television many hours, could that contribute to insufficient blood flow as well?
Absolutely. So you're not going to start with a wound, right? You're going to start with these other factors, like you might have some wrist pain, you might have a swelling that doesn't go down, you may have varicose veins, all of those things. If you're sitting for the majority of your day, that is just going to cause compounding issues. A lot of times, you know, I see people as a physical therapist, and we are always recommending trying to move every hour, do whatever you can, because your body was meant to move. And it's not just, you know, the joy of having sore muscles because you got to use them, but because your system needs the activated muscle pump to get the fluid out of your lower legs. Act of like pumping your toes and feet and just kind of fidgeting, moving that helps with the venous return.
Well, so something as small as that can help. Would you advise just the average person, just you mentioned every hour, should they get up and stretch and maybe ride a stationary bike? What would be a good little regimen for people to use every day?
I mean, you should be like kind of moving and tapping your toes and all of that stuff. But I love to suggest for people to drink a lot of water. So you have to get up and go urinate. So not only does that keep your system hydrated and flowing, but it also requires you to get up and move.
So that's pretty simple thing most of us can do, because the impression I got from, you know, reading about these lower extremity ulcers is so much of it had to do with inactivity and or obesity. And I think age is probably a factor. Is there sort of a most common age group that would begin to manifest these symptoms?
I would say definitely past retirement age, where things get worse and more complicated. Mobility is key, and it seems that people get a little bit more sedentary when they aren't busy out and doing things. Of course, health concerns can play a factor for people, but we always want to encourage activity and mobility, whatever level you're at, to keep working on it.
So it sounds like kind of a two-part thing. While you're younger and healthier, hopefully you're going to be make an attempt to be more active if you aren't already. And once you start getting older and retirement age, whatever that is, I guess you're probably saying mid-60s up and on.
Right.
Be active. You don't have to be an Olympic level athlete, but keep it moving and keep the blood flowing. Probably things like yoga maybe, and Pilates and gentle aerobics.
Yep. Go ahead and take that dog for a walk around the block. We were meant to move. When we don't, our systems start to fail a little bit. But while we're young, like you mentioned, arterial disease starts with the lack of blood flow. So we're talking about arteriosclerosis, atherosclerosis, that increased cholesterol level, higher blood pressure, all these things eventually cause damage to the vessels and down the line can cause issues like smoking, your blood sugar, all of these things where while you're young and healthy, don't seem like a big deal, can down the line cause significant issues and make recovering from whatever surgery or procedure you need to have even harder.
That's really interesting. I've always thought about the kind of cumulative effect of, you know, how you spend your life. Now that I spent a bunch of my life, kind of look back and, well, some of those decisions weren't terrible. But let's talk about diet, because I know, you know, that certainly dovetails with what you're saying. And I know that, you know, diabetics can have, as we said before, can have real problem with these lower extremity ulcers. So from younger years on, would you give us a little feedback on diet and how to avoid, rather, you know, maybe how to maintain your health so that your circulatory system's in better shape as you get older?
Well, definitely the standard recommendation is 30 minutes of activity on most days. And it doesn't have to be like heavy weights or, like you said, running, you know, a marathon or anything. It's simply getting your heart rate up and moving. It's your heart's a muscle. It needs to be exercised. And that is essentially the pump for all these vessels. So you need to be using it. That deep breathing helps pump everything through as well. And your calf muscles firing help to empty the veins in your leg. So all of these things need to be constantly working.
So it takes some discipline. But what you said about keep it moving really strikes a note with me, because some years back I read, I actually listened to an audiobook, just side note, back in the day, I was paid by a magazine to review audiobooks. So this one, it's really kind of a cool job. And this book was about exactly that historically our race, you know, our you know, Homo sapiens are meant to move, and that when we were, you know, back in the ancient days, we walked many miles every day. We were not planted in one spot. We were, you know, hiking around, hunting and gathering, looking for places, and we were way more mobile. So like you say, we're designed to be active. And it's really a cliche almost to say a sedentary life and is a bad idea. It seems to filter all the way through our culture. But the fact that that's just how we're wired, to me, right, is really interesting. Like, how do we recover our real selves? I wonder if there's even a way to do it, you know, in the modern age.
I don't know. It's so hard. You know, so many of our careers, our whole life is like around sitting. So I personally try to start my day with activity just because that's how I, you know, feel better. Sometimes it's more strenuous than others, but it's always something. And that way I've gotten it out of the way, at least for the day. And then everything on top of that's gravy. But I definitely saw with the pandemic and how people were secluded and not doing as much and under lockdown, we saw sicker and sicker people in the hospital, and they were more and more sedentary. They weren't going out and doing that gym walk or whatever they were doing before, walking around the supermarket once a week. At least they just stayed home, and yeah, we saw worse wounds because of it.
That's really interesting. I stopped going to the gym. I used to be someone who went every day, and with the pandemic I stopped. I just moved my workout home.
Mm-hmm, same.
Did a bunch of things. I rarely miss a day still. It's kind of my thing, and I have a dog. So let's get to your, you know, in your practice as a healthcare giver and the wounds that you see, and now that you see a worsening of them through the pandemic. Would you give me an idea of the spectrum of people with these wounds, from those who maintain them at home? What's their day-to-day life like, and what can their expectancy be for quality of life day-to-day versus, you know, of course, like we said, the many diabetics and people in nursing homes with really grievous pressure wounds and ulcers, or what people call bed sores?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the harder, so with arterial wounds, a lot of times they're going to also be working with, you know, someone, a physician from vascular. At some point, they may require a revascularization surgery to get more blood flow to their foot.
What is revascularization surgery?
That's where they take an artery from one place and move it to another, similar to like the heart bypass graft that you'll hear a lot of about. They're just doing it in the leg, and they're essentially taking a bad vessel out that wasn't working and putting a new one in so that blood gets to the area and increases blood flow. So people, when they get to that point, usually once that surgery happens, hopefully everything goes well, they recover quite nicely from the procedure and do fine. Of course, people that continue to smoke and don't address any other health factors are going to have, you know, recurrent issues. But those that take it as the sign to change some maybe lifestyle issues, they do fine. I think the vascular and the venous insufficiency wounds are a lot more difficult to heal. They are usually have lots of swelling. They almost have this like weeping edema where their legs are just leaking, and those wounds and lymphedema tend to go hand in hand. They require compression wrapping, which is very difficult to do on your own. And you'll see at some point, especially as people get older and maybe their hands don't work as well, or they don't have people to help them, that it becomes harder to use the compression, and then they don't use the compression, and then things kind of cycle back and forth between bad and worse. So that's definitely a more difficult situation and gets worse because the less they move, the worse it gets. They get more isolated. It's just a hard situation to be in.
Yeah, it really sounds miserable, and well, almost like a slippery slope, because one the condition leads to other things that you have to do that limit your mobility. And the more you try to have more mobility, I assume that's probably pretty hard to do.
Right.
And so is this kind of like the beginning of a decline for a lot of people when this starts manifesting, or can these wounds be, you know, overcome with surgery and these compression treatments and other things?
Yeah, we've seen people heal fine. I think the problem is as people get older and more debilitated and maybe their community, the less community they have around them to provide support, then the worse it gets for people. And we've seen with healthcare shortages and things like that, that the resources that may have been there before may or may not be there now.
Are you talking about both physical services and the emotional support?
Physical services, like we see all the time, more common now than ever before, less like home care agencies, like their staffing isn't as good. People aren't showing up to their clients' houses. Home health aides may or may not be available. And that becomes a real problem when someone is relying on someone else to help get their compression wrap on or, you know, take them out or take them for a walk, or, you know, they're just not safe completely 100% on their own. And then they also don't have support. That becomes the slippery slope.
And even more so probably once people are in nursing homes or assisted living centers or some variation of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. But, you know, there's some good news. And I mean, I don't think it's bragging to say that collagen can be a really positive element and a step towards some healthier outcomes than...
Absolutely. Yeah. Collagen is fantastic for helping to strengthen the tissue, provide structure as the wound is healing, and these recurrent openings need support because like an ointment is just not going to be enough. The wound needs the matrix and needs the building blocks to be able to fully heal. So collagen's a fantastic product to use if you have venous insufficiency ulcers that you're working with. It can be used underneath compression wraps, helps absorb more drainage, which is great.
So, I mean, everyone needs the matrix, and Keanu Reeves, of course, is a critical part of our lives.
Although Matrix what would Revolutions, we do without it?
You got me. I can't stop watching. Just kidding. But that's really cool. So let's say someone uses a product like Human Biosciences, various collagen products, or if they're using a type 1 collagen product in the early stage of one of these wounds, it seems to me like they'd have a much greater chance of avoiding some of these kind of dire outcomes we've been talking about.
Absolutely. I mean, we want to heal these wounds. The faster we heal it, the better. So why not start with the best to begin with?
Well, let's talk about that. Would you explain the process that happens biologically? We were talking about the matrix and Agent Smith is always bad for wounds. But so for the average person, okay, there's a wound or someone they know has a wound, a relative, friend. Some collagen products are applied. What's going on once that's contacting that wound?
Well, collagen's a biologically active ingredient. So it's not like using Vaseline or something that's just keeping the wound moist. It's actually providing structure for the wound as it's bringing in new molecules and trying to fill in that open wound space. It gives the body something to adhere to and start working with. In all four stages of a wound healing, collagen provides something different. And it also provides like a nice contact layer. It's not going to be something abrasive, like using a wet to dry dressing where the wound is healing while it's covered. And then as you remove the gauze, you're going to be pulling off this new tissue that the body is trying to create. And collagen becomes absorbed and there's not that damage when you're doing dressing changes. So it's gentle for the patient as well.
So I have what might be a dumb question. When you say biologically active, is the collagen in a sense not inert, but actually has a certain, I don't know if vitality is the word, but biological availability? Is there something active in it?
The body recognizes it and it kind of like the fluid that is in the wound is kind of turning it all on. So it's not just this inert foreign cover fabric dressing thing. It's actually an active product.
The body recognizes it as itself in a sense, or natural and compatible with itself, right?
Yeah. And it's like, oh, wait, is this what we're supposed to be doing? Great. Let's make more of this.
So in closing, Heather, thanks so much for being with us here. It's Vascular Awareness Month, I think is the theme, right?
Yep. It's September is Vascular Awareness Month and also PAD, Peripheral Arterial Disease Awareness Month as well. So both of them are celebrated in September. So get the word out, talk to your friends and family if they're suffering, get them in touch with us if you have an open wound, and definitely vascular medicine is the way to go.
Sounds great. You're right. People can just write and get a free sample of the collagen products, and if you're a caregiver, I'm sure the same would happen. So Heather, what goes on in the medical community, Vascular Awareness Month or PAD? Typically, how do people celebrate it, as you say, or acknowledge it?
What I've seen a lot lately is all about save the leg, wearing different socks or wearing compression socks or big white socks out there just to raise awareness and also kind of destigmatize needing to wear compression stockings and that sort of thing, and how it's the good thing and it's something that you need to do. So we want you to take care of your legs and save your legs.
Oh, that's cool. So some celebrity should kind of wear them publicly, right?
Yeah, wear them proud.
Well, that's great. Thanks again, Heather. It was great talking to you.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks for joining the Triple Helix podcast presented by Human Biosciences. Your host was Dan Bernard.